对世人旨意的一个道理。
This morning, we would like to talk about concerning a nation and a kingdom and the will of God towards the world.
我们看到这个邦国，就会想到我们所生的范围、领土，还有王权，还有治理的方式等等。
When we think of a nation, we think of where we are born or how the place is being ruled.
这个国度就有出生的那这个字 ，kingdom 叫王统治的一个政权。
So nation has a root word net, which is where we are born, and kingdom is actually concerning the rule of a king.
那新旧约的圣经常常用国度和王国或者说王权或者统治在位这些等等来表示。
In the Bible, we can see the representation. Using these words, nation and kingdom.
但是最主要要显出的神的自主统治权，他的至高至大。
But what is important is that it needs to express that God is the one who truly rules and that He is the only one.
所以说从旧约圣经一直到新约就特别强调神的王权。
From the Old Testament and then especially in the New Testament, we can see. The emphasis on God's rule.
那人在世界上的这个国度，或者是一个政治的团体，都在神的掌控之下。
The kingdoms of the world, all these political powers, are really within God's control.
但是有时候我们想不通的，就是为什么地面上这么的纷杂，这么的混乱。
But sometimes we cannot fathom why.The world is so confusing or so messy.
难道神的统治权失效了吗？
Is it because God's control has been lost?
那所以说就要追究到有两个重要的概念。
So we actually really need to come back to two very important concepts.
一个就是神的绝对自主权。
First is that God's sovereignty.
第二个就是人的对应。
And the second is the reaction from men.
那所以说我们英文讲的话 divine initiative, 那用另外一方面讲就 human response, 这样的概括这整个我们所提出的疑问了。
We use the terms divine initiatives and also human response.
那所以圣经就阐明原来神有他的绝对的这个意志形式或者彰显他的整个作为在这宇宙当中。
In the Bible, we see God's sovereignty in the ruling of this universe.
所以说，特别在创造救赎的事上，我们可以看到诗篇或其他作者对神的称颂。
Especially in the matter of creation and salvation, we can see the authors of some and other books praising God.
神对世人所预备的这个创造伟大的工程跟救赎这么大的恩典。都出于他的绝对自主权的。
The fact that actually God had prepared for the creation and the salvation, these are really to show God's sovereignty.
他真的愿意大家在这个世界上万国国跟国民跟民之间和睦或者是非常和乐的这样生活着。
He intends for all the nations of the world to live in peace with each other.
只是人这方面他没有办法用。应该被要求的信心跟顺服来对应之。
But men cannot use faith to really respond this way.
因此才展开，因为人的应对，神就他的旨意的调整。
Now because of man's reaction, God adjusted based on His will.
这就是神旨意的奥妙的一二的其中的道理。
And this is actually one of the mysteries of God's will.
我们朝着这个方向来检验早上所要查考的耶利米先知他所做的一个象征动作。
Using this as a direction, we will study one of the actions of Jeremiah.
请看耶利米书十八章。
Let's refer to Jeremiah chapter 18.
十八章有一个很重要的神的指示。
There's a very important revelation or instruction from God.
借着这个先知他的访问一个窑匠的家里。
This is through the prophet visiting the family of a potter.
看着这窑匠他的这个做陶器的这个动作。
Observing how the potter would actually make the clay.
然后呢，借着这动作，神就昭告他更高的旨意。
Then God used this to show him his higher will.
这个在圣经是常见的所谓的象征动作。
This is something that we see in the Bible often, which is a symbolic act.
啊，在以赛亚书、以西结跟耶利米书是很多的例子。
There are many of these examples in Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah.
接着先知的某一个动作或他所参与的一个动作。
Through the actions of the prophet or his involvement in something.
那动作里头就蕴含着神要教训世人的他的旨意。
The action contains with them teachings from God to the world.
因此动作本身就含着代表性的意义了。
Therefore, the action itself already is symbolic.
所以我们在圣经上称为象征，有语义的动作。
That's why we call this an act of symbolism in the Bible.
那在这一章十八章。
In this chapter, chapter 18.
摇将的动作，随着以后就神的昭告他的旨意。
After the explanation,of the action of Potter, then and it described the will of God.
那这个旨意也就刚才我们所说的，神在人间王国或者朝代当中他的自主权。
The will is what we described earlier, which is that God is sovereign in how he controls the nations of the world.
当然，这涉及到神的拣选或他跟国度的契约或他对任何一个王权的要求。
Of course, this concerns the choosing of God and also his requirement of these kingdom.
但是人应该怎么应对
？And also, how men should react.
那意思就是说，神有他原来美好的旨意。
It is saying that God has his original good will.
那所有的后果端赖人的应对了。
And all the results really are based on man's reaction.
那么神就在看人的应对，在做最后的旨意的调整，或最后他的那旨意的伸张。
And based on the reaction of man, God would then adjust and exhibit His final will.
那圣经有关于国家的，就专门记载在这一段里头。
Concerning kingdoms or nations, the Bible records this very specific incident.
那当然有但以理书这样的王朝的更迭。
Of course, there's also what was mentioned in Daniel.
或者其他圣经里头所说的神对国度的这个自主权跟他的要求。
And in other places where it would express God's sovereignty over the kingdoms.
那这一章是要让所有的在这个世界上的国度世人来思考神的绝对自主权。
This chapter is for all the kingdoms to really reflect on God's sovereignty.
所以它就是普世性的对各个国度的放诸皆准的一个准则了。
It is actually a standard for all kingdoms.
那另外呢，还有另外地方就是关于到神跟个人的这样的错综复杂的关系。
There is another place that talked about the a complicated relationship between God and man.
那就是神对个人每个单位每个世人每个单位他所要求的。
This is the requirement that God has from every individual unit.
也就是说论到一个任何一个人。
That is every single one of us.
在这个世界上神有他的绝对自主权和他的要求。
Toward everyone in this world, God has his requirement.
那人应该怎么样的应对。
And how men should react.
因此人就在神面前或在社会面前有一个应该负的这个良心道德这个责任。
So men have responsibility to fulfill in the society.
所以跟王国的被要求一样的。
It's just like the requirements placed on the kingdoms.
那每个个人每个个体在神面前也应该有相对的这样的应应的关系。
Everyone also has his or her responsibility to fulfill in front of God.
那这一章节全部集中在同样的十八章。
And these are all focused and recorded here in chapter 18.
是在以西结书十八章。
In Ezekiel chapter 18.
所以我们对于查考圣经，假定能掌握到有两个十八章，关于到神跟国度，或者整个世界，或者个体，或者每一个个人，那就是两个十八章。
So we can just think of both of these chapter 18s where they talked about the requirements for the kingdoms and for men individually.
耶利米书跟以西结书。
Jeremiah and Ezekiel.
那么早晨特别强调的是王国和国度。
So this,
国家, 啊, 这个观念。
This morning, we are going to focus on the things concerning nations and kingdoms.
当然这个国家我们想着是有形的，是具体的。
Of course, when we think of a country, it is something that is physical, that has
shape. 甚至是历史上存在的一个个体。
It is an entity that exists in history.
但是同时它可以概念的、抽象的。
But at the same time, it could be an abstract thought or concept.
是一个无形的集体。
It is actually an entity without shape.
所以不管在具体或者抽象的，你都可以看到这个原则是应诸，就是说它能够这应用到两者之中任何一个的。
Either with shape or without shape, you can see that this applies.
那我们现在请来看。
So now let's look at it.
那这个是引我们思考出这个神的旨意。
And this is to help us to understand the will of God.
他本来如何的预备。
That how he prepared originally.
然后他忽然看到，或者他看到人的应对，或者国度的应对。
He then see the response from men or from kingdoms.
那神就一个转意，他改变他的心意。
God would then change his mind.
把本来预备的心意他改掉了。
From his original will.
那他转变了。
And he changed.
本来他就说，本来论到一邦一国要祝福的。
Concerning the kingdoms and nation which he was to bless.
或者说论到一邦一国他本来要咒诅的。
Or concerning the kingdom or nation that he was to curse.
那就在他要祝福的或他咒诅的国度他看到他们的作为。
And he saw the response from these kingdoms he was to bless or to curse.
违反他的本意。
And how they actually went against his original will.
所以神就改变心意。
So God changed his mind.
那就把本来要祝福的变成不祝福。
The kingdom to be blessed would not be blessed anymore.
本来要咒诅的降灾祸的他就转意不降灾祸了。
The kingdom to be cursed, that he changed his mind not to curse anymore.
所以从这个转意的或者圣经所说的这个懊悔或悔后悔，
This change of mind, relentment.
当然就你可以看到有后悔这个字眼出现在创世纪第六章。
And you can see this word, relentment, in Genesis chapter 6.
因为当时世人在挪亚世代思想的终日都是恶的。
Because during the days of Noah, everyone's thought was evil.
好，你再看那个创世十三章。
And you can also look at Genesis chapter 13.
那索多玛人在神面前罪恶贯盈他们是罪大恶极。
Those in Sodom, their evil have reached the heaven.
那所以说，这就在六章记载，神就后悔造人在地面上。
So in chapter 6, you can see that God regretted that he created man.
那我们在解经上不能照着说后悔，就说神做错了，神在追悔，在懊丧。
We can't just say that God actually has done something wrong and he is changing his wrong action.
其实是字眼的关系，应该说神转意，就说转意说啊，他本来所创造的人竟然这么可恶。
Where in fact we should use the word that God changed his mind based on man's response.
他们真的违反他的本心，他的原意。
That man actually really went against his original goodwill.
所以要本来要保留的上古中这个近东的世界。
So the good that he had originally reserved for the world.
但是现在中东世界要给一阵的洪水来毁灭他们。
Would actually be changed to a flood that would be used to destroy the world.
所以就是他因为看到人的罪恶，他就决定要用洪水毁灭他们。
Because
这是一个转变心意的。
Because he saw the evil of men, he decided to use the great flood to destroy.
那同样道理在这耶利米书十八章。
The same concept can be used in Jeremiah chapter 18.
其实在显出一个这一书的重要的道理主题。
It first expressed the important theme of this chapter.
一方面是要拔出、拆毁、毁坏。
The first is to
第七节。
In verse 7, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy.
这是从负面的。
This is from the negative perspective.
但是从正面来讲，又在第九节那里说。
Then from the positive perspective, in verse 9,
他要建立斋职
to establish and to plant.
那就是说神 要建立一个邦国，要栽植他们的生命延存，他都是用了心的。
That is to say that God would use his heart to build a nation and to plant it.
但是到头来，神有一个转意，一个历史的契机。
In the process, there is a change of a heart in God's part.
所以说负面的跟正面这两方面神的作为。
So we can see both from the negative and the positive aspects.
真的是具体的针对到世界上的王国。
And this actually, is what is used practically in the kingdom.
其实也是针对耶利米以西结当代的这个王朝。
It is also actually applied to the kingdoms at the time of Jeremiah and Ezekiel.
就以先知当时的实在的环境来说。
This is the actual situation of the prophets at the time.
但是同时他也是放诸四海，应用到世界上列邦列国。
But at the same time, this is being applied to all the kingdoms and nations of the world.
那请看那耶利米书的第一章。
Let's refer to Jeremiah chapter 1.
大约在公元前627-626左右。
In the years before Christ, about 626-627.
627跟626的这个时候。
Around 627-626 before Christ.
神就差遣，就选召这个年轻的祭司的儿子耶利米。
God had called son the Jeremiah of the priests.
那当然耶利米他说他太年幼，不敢担当这个大任。
And Jeremiah said he is young and he did not dare to take on this great responsibility.
但神说我已经分别你为圣，来归我来所用。
But God said, I have already set you apart.For me to use you.
要差遣他做列国的先知。
To appoint him to be the prophet of the many nations.
那神差他到哪他就到哪去。
Where he was sent, he was to go.
那他神要他说什么话他就得说神所指示的神谕语言。
And what God wants him to say, he was to say.
那第十节就彰显出这全书的主题了。
And verse 10, we can see the theme for the entire book being expressed clearly.
他说，看啊，我今日立你在列邦列国之上。
He said, See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms.
我要实行拔出、拆毁、毁坏、倾覆。
To root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down.
同时又要传播这个建立栽植这个信息。
And at the same time, to build and to plant.
这个一章十节
This chapter 1, verse 10,
其实是标示出这个耶利米书他的道理
is really actually summarizing the teachings of Jeremiah.
因为他本身有历史的影子
Because there is the shadow of history here.
他同时有神道理他的贯诸四海而不变的一个准则
There is also the standard that would be applied to all nations and kingdoms.
只是说在列邦列国那神的旨意本来说要建立栽植
In regards to all the nations and kingdoms, God's will was to build and to plant.
他说这个前提他是要建立栽植
That this really is the preface that God actually wanted to plan and build.
那另外一方面，他说神本来要施行的在拆毁或者倾覆毁坏。
And also at the same time, they explained that God would actually root out or to destroy.
这个两大端的这个神的公义审判跟神的这样慈爱拯救。
These are the two extremities of God's work, which is to execute judgment or His loving kindness.
其实也是旧约很重要的这救赎论的道理。
Actually, these are the very important basics of the Old Testament regarding salvation.
那这个就你可以看到神的旨意跟他作为的。
And you can see God's will and His work here.
一方面他要建立栽植，一方面他要施行拔出、拆毁、毁坏。
On one hand, God wanted to build and to plan. On the other, He wanted to root out, to pull down and destroy.
一章，十八章。
In chapter 1 and in chapter 18.
还有这二十四章。
And also in chapter 24.
三十一章。
Chapter 31.
跟四十五章。
and chapter 45.
所以有这种重复的语言出现说神的绝对自主权。
These words repeated in saying that God is sovereign.
那先知的语言就是要传扬他的公义审判。
And the words of the prophets are to actually proclaim God's righteousness and judgment.
列邦列国就要罪，神就要刑罚他们，来把他扒出，把他毁坏。
And that because of the sins of the nations, that God would pull them up and destroy them.
那假定他所跟他们所亲善的国度能够遵守神的旨意。
But for those kingdoms that are good and that are doing the will of God,
那神就要建立栽植。
God would build them up and to plant them.
所以一方面是负面的这个公义审判的刑罚，一方面是正面的神的慈爱拯救。
So on one hand, we can see the destruction and also the punishment of God, but on the other, we can see the loving kindness of God to plant and to build.
这在圣经是昭然很明显的。
This is very obvious in the Bible.
那我们现在来看，神叫耶利米先知看的这个摇杖的动作。
So now let's look at the actions that God wanted Jeremiah to observe.
那就是说这个摇匠这个师傅他能够很技巧熟练的来捏造他陶土的这个器具。
This action is of the potter having the skill to mold the clay.
换句话说，他要是看好的，那就要预备把它放到这个烧窑里头。
If the clay was molded into something good, then it would be used. It would be burned into shape.
那假定觉得不太合适，那他就重新捏土，重造一个新的模。
However, if the clay was not molded well, then it would be redone.
完全操在这个匠人的眼心眼，他的这个动作。
And so this actually is really being controlled by the eyes and the heart of the potter.
他非常熟练的、自如的就选择他喜欢的。 当作这器皿的这陶土的操作了。
That he could actually control according to what he wants in his heart.
完全在于他运用之妙，在他的心，在他的手。
And really, it depends on what his heart and what his hands put together.
那陶土就变成一个被动的一个物件。
So the clay is really an object that is being executed action.
所以说，这个窑匠变来比拟神，他有绝对自主权。
So the potter is really likened to God, who has sovereignty.
那这土窑土就变成被造的世人。The
clay represent the creation, the people who are created.
当然，这个在以赛亚书二十九章跟四十五章也说都提出来了。
This also is mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 29 and 45. Isaiah chapter 29 and 45.
那以后罗马书九章保罗再提出来。
And in Romans chapter 9, Paul also mentioned this.
所以这个是一贯的道理。
These are all actually of the same teaching.
神好像这窑匠。
That God is like the potter.
他有绝对自主权来捏造、来创造、来毁坏。
He has the sovereignty to destroy, to pull up, and to build.
那么人是被动的陶土。
And men are really the clay that are the object.
当然，这个神会让他成器的。
And God would cause men to become something of use.
那假设这个陶土的模不好了。
But if the clay was not done well,
那神就再重新的捏造。
God would then redo the molding.
那就是说这个一个历史上的变数在那里头。
There is the element of the changes in history in there.
也就是我们信仰跟人生上的路途上的一个变数。
This is also the changes that are used to describe about our journey in this world.
就好像说神预备了，已经安排了。
It's like God had prepared.
他有他的想象的这目标。
He had his goal.
他要他所造的。 然后所创的这样的人的路途，
He wanted the creation to go through this journey.
但是人是动的，
But men are being put into action.
又比那个陶土的被动的捏造又这样更深一层。
This is actually the meaning beyond the clay.
人可以走自己的路。
Because men can actually walk his or her own path.
陶土算是被造的物。
So clay, even though it's being created,
那以赛亚书那边是强调说，人或者被造的陶土不应该有所发怨言来抗议。
Isaiah emphasizes that the clay should not complain.
但是从他的经历来看,
but from his experience,
人在走的道路上头,
in the way of men,
是不是合乎神他要人以信心跟顺服的这样的要求来应验神的创造或神的安排?
Whether men can really use faith and submission to go with what God wanted them to do.
那这对国家对个人的是这样子的道理。
This really is the teaching that God has for men and for kingdoms.
那我们来看圣经啊，神掌控宇宙那的国度或世人。
Let's look at how in the Bible it records God controls the universe and men.
那当然可以从但以理书看出他的端倪出来。
We can see on some of it from the book of Daniel.
那么先来看但以理书的第二章。
Let's refer to Daniel chapter 2.
当然这是很熟悉的那个但以理所解梦。
This is a passage that we are familiar with in how he interpreted the dream of the king.
那在但以理书的第一章到六章，这是专门在讲历史篇。
In chapter 1 through 6 of Daniel, it talks about the history.
跟被巴比伦掳去的这个犹大这少年人他们的这样的自首他们的前程。
The encounter of these the young captives from Judah to Babylon, and also how they preserved themselves in the faith.
那他们的像敬虔，他们的对神的忠心。
And how they actually held on to the faith and be true to God.
以他们信心，胜过这个险恶的环境。
And using the faith, how they were able to overcome the evil world at the time.
而且赢得这个。要逼迫他们的国人或甚至国王的赞许说神的确跟他们同在
and that they were even able to win over and have the praise of the king that their God is truly the God of the universe
有神指示他们隐秘的事
that God actually showed them the mysteries
能够解析那个是难解的事
that they were able to explain things that are very difficult to explain
就充满了神的灵跟神的智慧
they were filled with the spirit and wisdom of God
这是这几章的重点
these are the main points of these several chapters
但就在这里它有一个很重要的有关到神在列国上的这个王权
but here there is something that is concerning about the sovereignty of God over the kingdoms
我们来看第二十节
let's read verse 20
第二章的二十节
Chapter 2, verse 20.
那神，那他就说，神的名是应当称颂的，从亘古直到永远，因为智慧能力都属于他。所以说，神的绝对有能力，有智慧。
Here it says, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His."
再看二十一节。
Let's read verse 21.
神改变时辰日期。废王立王将智慧赐予智慧人将知识赐予聪明人第二十二节
Verse 22
他显明深奥隐秘的事知道暗中所有的光明也与他同居这讲到神的绝对自主权
Here it talks about the sovereignty and the absolute control of God
以下二十八节讲说只有他来显明奥秘的事情
AndFrom verse 18 and on, it talks about how God would review the mysteries and secrets.
那么以后三十六节以后就解释但这个尼布加尼撒王所做的梦。
And from verse 36, we can see how the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar was interpreted.
那这个王国的更迭啊，替代的循着世界的一个主行。
How the kingdoms would switch from one power to another.
啊，就是金银铜铁或土。
So from gold to silver, and from copper to iron to clay.
这也是人间的一个历史想象的一个定律了。
This actually was
historical imagination. Historical imagination.
Okay, this actually is the historical imagination.
其实我们看各国对这世界演变的看法几乎是一样的。
When we look at how history transpired, this is how it was.
你看尧天舜治黄金的世的远古世代。
We can see the golden era in the history.
然后呢，慢慢的这样的就变质了，败坏了，到最后被弃绝了。
Then it became corrupted and continue eventually to destruction.
历史是从正的一个反的，然后再来一个和的。
So from history, we can see there's a
Thesis, antithesis.
Thesis and the antithesis.
跟最后的总统合，改变以后的统合。
Then also at the
synthesis.
Oh, and at the end, the synthesis.
我们就叫做这历史演变的辩证法。
So this
dialectics.
Dialectics. This is what we call dialectics.
啊，其实人间是这样子。
This is really how the history of the world is.
原来是很好。金的，好像金银那么的天的特质。
It was very good originally, just like gold.
好像我们上古时代尧天舜禹帝尧帝热帝舜时代的美好，啊，好像周公文王那个时代的美好。
Oh, so this is like how we explain in the history of China, where everything was wonderful.
然后以后慢慢的退化，变质了。
Things continue to become worse and even change in substance.
所以他所看到的列邦列国。
And so what he saw here concerning the kingdoms and nations.
那尼布加尼撒邦所看的。
What King Nebuchadnezzar saw.
就从金的到铁到最后的铁跟泥。
From gold until the iron and clay at the very end.
这个金头的这个银膀臂铜胸到最后的铁。
So from the the golden head and then the silver body
and the bronze,
waste. And then at the end, at the bottom, we can see iron and eventually iron mixed with clay.
它是指着从巴比伦一直到最后的这个世代。
So from the time of Babylon, it continue on to describe the kingdoms.
那我们可以真的数算国度了，就在。这上古时代就可以知道。
We can actually compare them to how the kingdoms develop and see the similarity.
但是呢，我们看在这历史上的朝代更换的时候的一个原则。
We can see also one principle of how kingdoms change.
那先看四四节。
Let's read verse.
那第二章四四节。单以理书二章44节。
Chapter 2, verse 44.
啊，当那列王在位的时候，天上的神必另立个国，永不会败坏，不归别国，却要打碎这一切的国。那这个国必永远长存。等到这个整人间的国度一个一个都被好像被一个大石头在打碎的时候
，When the kingdoms of the world are destroyed by this rock，
那神所要立的这个国度要永远长存。
Then the kingdom that is established by God shall stand forever.
啊，这只说这个地面上的秩序过了，那神的这个属灵的国度要永远的长存的。
This is saying that when the kingdoms of the world have come to pass, the kingdom of God shall come and shall be established forever.
但是在这神国建立以前，这个列国是怎么样的经过的呢？
But before this kingdom of God is established, how would the kingdoms of the world come to pass?
我们可以看到巴比伦王朝。
We can see the Babylonian kingdom.
经过米提和马代的，或者是这希腊的王朝。
And it went through the time of the Medes all the way to the Greeks.
啊，到了希腊，到了罗马。
And then after that, the Romans.
啊，这样就可以看到王国一个替代一个，没有永远长存的。
We see how one kingdom was replaced by another, and they never lasted forever.
那神就在这当中，他畅行他的旨意。
And in all this, God executed His will.
他要立这个王，废那个王。
He would establish one king and destroy another.
他可以用不同的方法。
He can use different methods.
比如说战争、瘟疫、饥荒。
For example, wars or calamities or diseases.
啊，那这个就让国度就在一个换一个。
So he would then allow the kingdoms to change one another.
那等到这个世界的秩序过了。
Until the order of this world has come to pass.
那有以后永远长存的神的国。
Then the kingdom of God, which shall last forever, is here.
是谁在掌权？
Who is the one controlling?
不是当年的亚历山大。
It is not Alexander the Great.
也不是罗马的凯撒。
It is not the Caesar of the Romans.
或者这几十年前希腊或是斯大林。
Stalin. And it's not
Stalin.
It's not Hitler or Stalin.
更不是现在任何一个王君。
And it is not the kings of today's time.
神绝对自主权。
God is sovereign.
一个替代另一个。
One is replaced by another.
神废了这个，又立另一个。
God would pull one down and establish another.
在这变化的这个流跟变化的世界里头，一个永恒者。
In this ever-changing world, there is one who lasts forever.
有一个统治者在上头，有一个统治者的统治者在 更上头。
There is one in power above all.
啊，所以说这是我们可以看到这个摇匠神说出的话语。
This is what is likened in the analogy of the potter.
我们再看另外一节。
Let's refer to another verse.
请看箴言的二十一章。
Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 21.
二十一章很简单，很简单的一句话。
A very simple saying.
所以这个王的心呢，是二十一章一节。
In chapter 21, verse 1.
王的心在神的手中，好像龙沟里的水，在随意的流转。
The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like the rivers of water. He turns it whatever.
但人好像水的流的方向。
In other words, this is like how the water actually flow in a certain direction.
神的手可以这样的搅动，那或者引导水流的流转的方向。
And God's hand can actually stir the water to control how it would flow.
换句话说，君王的心思意念有一个更高的无形的力量在指使着。
So the king's heart actually really is within the control of this being that's higher.
那这当然指着神的绝对自主权。
Of course, this is referring to God's sovereignty.
也指着行事比人强。
And it's also saying that his will is more powerful than the will of man.
也指着人类会复杂的心结。
And it also represents the complexity of man's
heart. 那这背后的力量是什么？
But behind all of this power, there's a greater.
就神在做，最至上的这个导引呢、啊、
？And it's actually saying that God really is the one controlling it all.
但是我们刚才有提了一个问题。
We mentioned a question earlier.
那既然神愿意这个万国都能够的敦睦、的和祥、那个昌盛、那个康乐
，Since God wanted all kingdoms to be at peace with each other and to be prosperous，
就好像当年他拣选以色列民，愿意他成为就是出埃及记十九章五节六节的话。
As when he chose the Israelite originally in Genesis chapter
出埃及记
in Exodus
19
chapter 19。
我要是你若实在听从我的话，遵守我的约，就做万民中属我的子民。
If you obey my words and keep my commandments, then I shall have you be the nation above all.
那你们归我做祭司的国度，这圣洁的国民。
And that you shall be the kingdom of priests. And to be a holy nation.
那神就愿意这个以色列民这样做。
And this is actually what God wanted for the Israelites.
就好像刚才说，神愿意万国都听从他的话，来遵守神不管在人世或自然界的定律。
Just like how we mentioned earlier, God really wanted all nations. To obey his will.
但是为什么这个世界这样的更迭，这样的败坏？
But why would the world become corrupted?
那有一个经文可以做最好的注脚。
There is a Bible verse that explains it all.
请看罗马书第一章。
Let's refer to Romans chapter 1.
刚好都在双数的这个结束上头。
These are all in even numbers.
对了，因为从一章的十八节就开始记载，神本来要人，成为他所称义的和心他心意的人们。
In chapter 1, verse 18, it says that God actually wanted the people to be ones after His heart.
但是他有愤怒，倾倒在人间。
But His wrath, is to be upon them.
就是原意就是说，本来创造像亚当以后出一个敬虔的子孙，好像马拉基说的。
Just like what is mentioned in Malachi, God created Adam so that there would be the descendants of God-fearing people.
拣选这以色列民要成为君尊的祭司，圣洁的国度，属神的子民。
That he had chosen the Israelites to be a kingdom of priests, to be a holy nation.
不管是世人或是神的选民。
It doesn't matter if it's the people of the world or the chosen ones of God.
对，神美好的本意的。
There is the wonderful will of God in it.
但是为什么神会愤怒？
But why would God be filled with wrath?
那么在罗马书一章十八节就昭示了一个很重要的道理。
In Romans chapter 1 verse 18 and on, we can see this actually explain a very important.
有一个重要的话可以来概括他的这段的道理。
And there is something that we can use to summarize what he was
teaching.
换句话说，不
管是世人当中的犹太人或者外邦人。
It does not matter if it's the Jews.Or the Gentiles.
十八节以下就记载，人在神面前罪恶是平等的。
From verse 18, we can see that they all share in sin.
然后呢，就有分着三大类来说，人在罪恶犯了什么样的成分。
Then there are three major categories where God explained what they sin.
那就二三节，十八节到二三节所说的人在拜神这方面。
In verse 18 to 23, it explained how in the fearing of God.
啊，他们把拜神应该算崇拜最真实的创造主。反而去拜虚假的、无意的这个偶像或假神。
That instead of worshiping God, they went to worship idols.
那是第一段的道理。
This is the first teaching.
那第二段是讲人的本性，是从二十六节开始。
The second is talking about the character of men.
他们本来本性要良善。
They were to be kind, to be good.
人有应该他发挥的正位的作用，正当的作用。
They were to be upright in what they do.
但是有一个人一个叫做逆性 perversion， 一个逆性违逆本性的这个作为。
But they have this perversion, so they went against that.
这当然指着人的良知、良能跟他们的外在的行为。
This is referring to the conscience of man and also their outward actions.
是指着特别本人的本性、他的本心。
That it's regarding the nature, the very essence of man.
还有他所发出的，这从本心出来的行为。
As well as the conduct that they gave out.
那第三段是指着这群居的社会。
The third is regarding this community livelihood.
也就是说社会行为、社会规范。
That is the society and the boundary of the society.
因为社会应该有秉公行义，要有正义存在。
Society is supposed to be fair and to be right.
人跟人之间也应该有诚实。
And between men, they are to be honest.
应该有怜悯、相助、相爱、相会的、互惠的这个心。
To be compassionate and helpful towards each other.
从第一段到第二段、第三段。
These are the one, two, and three sections.
讲说神本来的预备、神本来的期待。
The original preparation of God and His expectation.
不管在宗教方面。
Whether it is regarding religion.
宗教的敬虔方面。
Or regarding reverence,
不管在人本心本善啊，这行为方良心良能的方面
，or regarding the conscience, the goodwill of man, or his action,
或者是在群居社会的行为社会公益方面
，or regarding his society and how how the society functions.
三章二三节说，人世人都犯了罪，都亏欠了神的荣耀。
In chapter 3, verse 23, it says that all men sin and fall short of the glory of God.
那大概就从这三大类，从第一章就这样彰显出来了。
So starting with chapter 1, it already explained these three categories of sins.
那难道神无能吗？
Is God really that useless or helpless?
他真的不管掌控这个世界人心跟这行为吗？
Can he really not control this world or the hearts of men?
那这人常常这样怀疑这一点。
Men often doubt this point.
好像天空无眼，没有眼睛。
It's as if the sky has no eyes.
好像世上没有公平。
And that the world has no fairness.
好像这世人行善得不到好报。
And that men, when doing good, would not have good good result.
歹人发了这亨通。
It seems those who are evil prosper.
就直问出神的公义在哪。
So then they question, where is the fairness or judgment of God?
那 justice.
Justice of God.
那这个有英文字叫 theodicy, 是可以充分说明了。
There's a word theodicy, which explains this concept.
就是说义人受苦，恶人亨通，再来神的公义的问题。
That the righteous suffer, the evil prosper, then the question of God's justice.
这是在圣经约伯记或诗篇里头所提出来的。
This is mentioned in Job and Psalm.
但是呢，我们可以看到有双数的三次重复一句话。
But we can see in even numbers, it repeated three things.
来解释我们刚才所提出的疑问。
That it would answer the question we brought up just now.
神难道他真的无能来掌控这世界吗？
Is God really without the ability to control the world?
为什么他本意是好的，可是人却不应对他？
Why is it that his original will was good, but men do not respond so?
你知道他说，论到这邦这国，他本的意是要建立栽植，或者说他本意就要拔出倾覆毁坏。
Concerning the nation and kingdom, his will was to build and plan and also to destroy and pull up.
那为什么神这样改变他的心意，转意了呢？
Why would he change his mind?
所以这里有两个字眼来可以表示出来。
There are two words that we can see here.
请看26节，请看24节。
Let's refer to verse 24.
所以神就任凭他们乘着心里的情欲来行污秽的事，等等。所以他们就把神的真实变为虚伪的这偶像崇拜。
Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of the heart.
是神任凭人有宗教的心，他不保持纯正去拜偶像。
So God allowed them to be given up to uncleanness.
不荣耀神。
To not glorify God.
容许他们自以无知的心来昏昧。
And that they actually would give in to the lust of the heart.
在宗教意识上，他们成为愚拙。
That they become foolish in religion.
神就任凭你们去吧，去拜偶像，去昏暗去吧。
God let them be darkened and to worship idols.
再看第二十六节。
Let's also read verse 26.
那神要求人能够守身守心。
God actually require men to preserve their heart
and 身体。
And body.
人要有他的正这个身体的正正处的用途。
And that men is supposed to use their body for the right things.
但是他们逆性的背逆的。
However, they went against that nature.
在这世界上呢，这个社会上有很多惊人耸听的这个逆性的道理哦，逆性的新闻。
In this world, we see a lot of actions that are against this nature.
那神就任凭他们去做。
So God would let them continue doing so.
第二段人的良知良能或者他本性的良善本性应该做的一个原则都违反了。
So this is the second thing, which is that men would do those things against the nature of the good will of God.
再看第三个二十八节。
Let's look at the third one in verse 28.
神就任凭他们那存邪僻的心行各种不义不合理的事。
And God would allow them to be given over to a debased mind to do those things that are not fitting. 所以二十九节以下就描写这是社会不公义、不道德的事情。Verse 29 and on describe how there are these unfairness or things that are not right in the society.
所以从这一章十八节以下所描写的。
From chapter 1 verse 18 and on.
其实保罗他阐明说，人不管是犹太人和外邦人。
Paul was explaining that regardless whether they are Jews or not,
不管是中外古今,
whether it is in time past or in present,
都会应付, 服应这个三段的描写,
that these three things would be fitting.
一个是宗教的, 这敬虔的心。
One is regarding the religious reverence.
他们本来是应该崇拜这位创天地造物主救赎主。
They should really worship this God who created all.
第二个是神的要求在人的本心本性方面。
The second is the requirement that God has for man's heart and nature.
人的良知良能方面良心方面。
And also in our conscience.
在第三问神要求社会要充满了公义，社会的政治合理的事。
And the third is that God requires justice and fairness in the society.
可是在这几方面神都失望的。
These areas are areas that God is disappointed over.
因为人有他自己要应对的那的本分跟责任。
Because man has their own response and their responsibilities.
结果都趋向邪恶。
But they ended up off going towards the evil side.
这当然要考虑一个这个罪恶的这个倾向，恶倾向。
And this actually is concerning the law of the evil.
这是在罗马书七章以下会很清楚地说的。
Which is described clearly in Romans chapter 7.
那所以说神会转移。
It says that God will change.
本来要建立斋职，譬如说以色列国度。
For example, God would build and plan like with the Israelite kingdom.
那为什么？在公元前722年亚述国会毁灭以色列王朝。
But why is it that in 722 BC that Assyria destroyed the Israelite kingdom?
神 要让那比较敬虔的犹大王朝也存留。
Then God allowed the more reverent Judah to continue on.
但是在公元前588-587被毁灭，被巴比伦毁灭。
But still in 588 or 587 BC, They were also destroyed.
本来要建立斋职的，为什么神拔掉他们？
So why is it that why is it that God's original intent is to build and to plant?
本来有土地跟子孙契约的亚伯兰的这个条约内容。
And that there was that covenant God established with Abraham and his descendants.
就土地跟子孙。
That he would inherit land and descendants.
这个国度本来是应该长存的。
And this kingdom is to last forever.
因为拿单先知曾经向大卫这么应许说。
Prophet Nathan said to King David,
你的王跟你的这所罗门跟以后必然要坐在王朝王位上头。
Solomon and his descendants shall continue to sit on the throne.
应该是王位永固的。
That is to say, the throne should be established forever.
但是为什么他们的后代的王朝被毁灭？
But why is it that their descendants' kingdom were destroyed eventually?
那这个有很好的答案。
There is a very good answer.
请来看，请来看。
Let's read.
列王记下十七章。
Second Kings chapter 17.
这是描写刚才说的第一个王朝，北朝王这个王灭亡的经过。
This describes the process of how the northern kingdom was destroyed.
一节到六节描写这亚述王的毁灭，那最后的王叫做何西亚。
So the last king, as mentioned here, is King Hosea.
被亚述王来毁灭。
He was destroyed by King Assyria.
那当然，732这个一个决定性的撒玛利亚被取的攻下。
In the year 732 BC is when Samaria was taken.
然后724到722年，最后的沙冈第二世把它毁灭掉。
And in 724 to 722,the Assyrian monarch Shalmaneser destroyed the northern kingdom.
那就是一节到六节，神要建立这个王朝被拔掉倾覆了。
And this is actually what the verse to pull up to destroy.
你面对这个被灭亡的这个局势，有这样的思考。
And facing this kind of destruction, we would think, we would reflect.
就好像以后的巴比王朝毁灭犹大。
Just like how the Babylonians also destroyed Judah.
那当时存留的人怎么样的思考？
For those who are the remnants.
所以有两个时代，两个人们在做同样的宗教行思。
So there are a people of the two different times actually reflecting.
那么在列王记下十七章七节，历史家指出原因了。
In 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 7, the historian pointed out the reason.
他开头就说，为什么毁灭？
The first thing it says is destruction.
这是因为。
And this is because.
因为这些以下所条列的这个神违反神的事。
And then it would be a list of things that they did against God.
违反拜神的纯正的专一。
They went against the worshiping of the one true God.
比如说拜偶像、拜巴利、拜天上、拜万象。
So instead, they would worship idols, Baal, or anything in the sky.
他们存着恶心来随从外邦的恶俗。
They also follow the practice, the evil practice of the nations around them.
像把婴孩造烧祭献上。
For example, they would burn the child as an offering.
或者做各种邪恶的可憎恶的事。
Or to do all kinds of evil.
违反了神他们在这良心道德上和社会行为上的这个准则。
To really go against that conscience that God has given them and also the societal standard.
再加上他们硬心顽梗不听先知的劝解。
Moreover, they are stubborn in their heart and they would not listen to the warnings of the prophets.
所以神就转意了，让亚述国来毁灭他们。
So God changed his mind and allowed the Assyrian kingdom to destroy them.
这是历史家在这个列王记的一个醒思，一个警戒。
This is the reflection of the historian regarding the northern kingdom.
那第二个朝代140年以后。
About 140 years later, the second kingdom.
犹大经历同样的毁灭。
Which is the kingdom of Judah, they also experienced the same destruction.
这本来是这个大卫王系的，神所祝福的。
This kingdom is really ruled by David's descendants. It is blessed by God.
因为他们被称为神的这个儿子。
Because they are being called the children of God.
是神的受的高立者。
They are the anointed of God.
他们是坐他处在神的右边的。
They are on the right side of God.
啊，是神所尊贵的。
It is what is deemed precious.
那为什么末代王朝到最后的这个西底家不会毁灭？
But why is it that at the end with King Hezekiah that they were destroyed? 啊，Zedekiah.
啊，为什么？
Why is that?
那这历史家又提出来。
So the historian once again mentioned.
当然，他现在用哀歌的形式来检讨、来哀伤、来追悔。
And this time they use the songs of lamentation to reflect.
那就列里米哀歌可以看出来了。
In the book of Lamentation, we can see this.
尤其第二章。
Especially in chapter 2.
你细看那第二章所指的内容。
When we read carefully the content of this chapter.
华美尊贵的这个耶路撒冷。
That the very beautiful and prosperous Jerusalem.
那为什么被跌落在地面上，好像这受伤的、满身污血的这个寡妇。
Why would it be thrown to the ground like a widow?
在一章、二章同样的描写。
In chapter 1 and 2, there are similar descriptions.
原来神就已经闭目缩手，他 不再救援，反而毁灭这个神所爱的犹大王国。
And so God closed his eyes and took his hand back and allowed Jerusalem to be destroyed.
那为什么这样子？
Why is that?
列不论到这帮神要建立宅子的。
Concerning this nation and kingdom that God is supposed to build and plant.
连他所珍爱的这个他所契约的王国跟他的土地。
And even this kingdom that he treasured, this land that he treasured.
竟然被拔出倾覆毁坏。
That they would be pulled up, they would be destroyed and thrown down.
所以在历史书，圣经历史书。
So in historical books in the Bible,
从现在的来看，说约书亚记一直到列王记，这个叫做历史书。
From Joshua to the Kings, these are considered the historical books.
啊，那因为它里头都用生命记做这个指导的道理。
And in them, you can see they use the teachings in Deuteronomy.
啊，所以说我们这历史书这一部在1940年代以后。
In 1940 and on,
就是说从约书亚记到列王记这部的历史书
，and that is the historical books between Joshua and the kings.
我们就英文叫做 Deuteronomic history， 就是说用历生命记做主导思想的来描述王朝的这个兴亡史。
In English, we use the term Deuteronomic, which actually describes this period of history, which uses the teaching of Deuteronomy as the guide.
那这个主题在哪里？
Where is the theme?
其实，在《生命记》就一直在重复。
In Deuteronomy, it keeps repeating.
就是说，你们要进入得为业的土地上头。
That you shall enter into this land of promise.
有一个前提，有一个条件。
But there is a requirement.
你们若爱神，守他的律例、典章、诫命。
If you love God and keep all His commandments.
那么你们就日子长久，叫凡事亨通。
Then you shall live long days and be prosperous.
你们若转离去侍奉别的神。
But if you turn aside and worship other idols,
那么神就叫你们没有办法在得为业的土地上凡事兴旺或日子长久。
Then God would not bless you to be long living in this land.
所以这个话语贯穿了整本的生命记。
So this saying actually is in Deuteronomy all over.
也就是这个摩西他最后在摩亚平地。他语重心长的这希望百姓记住。
And this is also what Moses, while he was in the Moab plain, wanted the people to remember.
一章一节到四章四三节的第一段话。
From chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 4.
到四章四三节。到一章一节到四章四三节。那这一段摩西的历史的来在做历史的复习跟检验。
Until chapter 4, and this is when Moses actually gave them a recount of the history.
那第二段很长的四章四十四节到二十九章第一节。
From chapter 4, verse 44, until chapter 29, verse 1.
在做神在申明守诫命律例典章的必要性。
And this actually describes the importance of why the people are to follow the laws and ordinances of God.
那这个话语说，你若爱神守命，哒哒哒，你就怎么得到福气。
There is the phrase, if you love God and keep His commandments, then you shall receive this and this blessing.
四章、六章、十一章，一直到最后都在讲这些话语。
In chapter 4, chapter 6, and chapter 11, they are all describe the same thing.
那最后，摩西有做最后做第三段的，也是他个人很叮咛的，很语重心长的强调的。
And lastly, in the third section, Moses actually really wanted to tell the people this.
就二十九章二节到最后三十章二十节。
From chapter 29, verse 2,
until
the last verse of chapter 30.
他做最后的交代。
This is the final words of Moses.
以神的慈悲跟期盼的心理来嘱咐百姓们。
Using the loving heart of God and also his hope.
你们要过去得为产业的迦南地上头。
That they are to cross over to this land of promise.
我今天把这个生死祸福都摆在你们面前。
I've placed before you life and death, and blessings and curses.
你们要拣选生命啊。
You have to choose life.
你们若爱神，尽心尽性尽力爱主你的神，六章四节到九节的话，再重新说一次。
And he repeated the words in chapter 6, verse 4 to 9. If you love God with all of your heart, your mind,
你专心的爱他，他是你的独一救主。
And that you really you love him only and worship him as your only God.
心里偏向邪僻，来崇拜这些假神偶像。
And that your heart would not turn aside to idols and other gods.
那这样子，你们就可以在这个地面上来日子亨通，日子长久。
Then the days on earth for you will be long and prosperous.
不然的话
，otherwise，
将来有一天你们要被灭亡。
You shall be destroyed.
你们要从这个产业地被拔出，被迁赴，被毁灭。
You will be pulled up. You will be thrown out of this land of promise.
那就要像《申命记》二十八章所说的那个咒诅的内容一样。
Just like the curses that are mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 28.
所以这些道理都引起我们很深入的省思。
These teachings actually really inspire us to reflect deeply.
这国度不是指当年的这王朝而已。
That the kingdoms are not only referring to the kingdoms of that time.
这可以指这无形的国度。
It can represent the kingdoms without shape.
一个社团，一个群居，一个信仰的集体。
A community of faith.
那这个原则照样的存在。
And this principle is still there.
神要建立，要栽植。
That God would plant and also built up.
他的绝对自主权要求这样子。
That's what his sovereignty requires.
他的本意，他的预备也是这样子的美好的。
And that is really his original will, which is good.
但是神有时候会悲伤，会转意。
But sometimes God is sudden and would change his mind.
因为神任凭人这个集团来应对神的旨意的。
Because God would allow men or the community of men to do whatever they desire.
那这个时候人就需要向这里咒诅的另外一边的祝福所要求的。
And this is when men need to look at the other side of curses, which is blessing.
那就是你若爱神，守他命令，诚心实意的敬拜他。
Which is that if we love God and keep all of His words.
那么在这个条文，神跟人契约的这条文上。祝福就倾倒在人的身上了。
So in this covenant that God has with men, this really depends on men's action.
这是历史的教训。
This is the teachings of the history.
也是个社会经验的智慧。
It is also the wisdom of the passing of society.
也是我们个人在查经、查考神在历史作为跟智慧上得到的一个教训的。
This is also the teachings that we can derive from our study of the Bible.
所以神有他绝对自主权，他的美好的安排预备。
God has His sovereignty and He has His wonderful preparation.
但是在人方面，不要让我们自己任凭来违反神的心意。
But as men, we should not be given into these things that we desire, which are evil.
你要是爱神，守他的命令。
If we are to love God and keep His commandments,
以心灵跟诚实来拜他。
To worship Him in spirit and in truth.
那在圣经上所说的祝福。就倾倒在我们身上了。
Then the blessing which is described in the Bible would come upon us.
所以愿神来邀请我们，来激动我们思考这历史的教训。
May God invite us to really learn and be inspired by the teachings of the history.
因为这神对万国、对世人所要求的。
Because this is truly what God requires of all men.
好，那么请唱诗。
Now let's sing hymn.
211首。
211.